From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Chinese Communist Sleeper Agent Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Deep within, every public radio host is a singer-songwriter desperate to come out. So that's why we are devoting this special hour of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me to a solo performance I've come up with called My Life, My Loves, My Hair. The Peter Sagal song cycle.
I'm calling an audible, Peter. We're going to play some recent interviews with actual musicians instead.
Well, I'm disappointed, but all right. We'll start with somebody who I have a lot in common with. We're both Jewish guys from New Jersey, and we both perform next to a giant of the business known as The Boss.
Drummer Max Weinberg of the E Street Band joins us in the town where he was born, Newark, New Jersey, in December of 2014. Peter asked him how he got the job playing behind Springsteen.
The story is that you answered an ad that Bruce took out in the mid-70s?
That's quite right. In the newspaper, The Village Voice, I answered a want ad that said, wanted drummer, no junior Ginger Bakers. Now, Ginger Baker was the fantastic, flamboyant drummer of the rock group Cream.
Right, the classic.
There's a wonderful movie out called Beware Mr. Baker, and you really get a flavor of Ginger Baker. He was a soloist, and that the fact that it said no junior Ginger Bakers indicated to me that whoever this group was, and it said at the bottom Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, but then it said on Columbia Records, that was good, he was doing better than me, he had a record deal. No junior Ginger Bakers indicated to me he wanted an accompanist, and that's what I'd basically always done, growing up in the 50s and 60s as a drummer in Newark and in all the suburbs around here.
Right. And yeah.
I think it's going to work out.
Really? Yeah.
I was playing, as I said, in the Broadway show Godspell in the Pit Band, really aptly named, by the way, because we were in the Pit Band in those days. It was tough. There was this open call, and I was the 56th drummer of about 60-something drummers that went down right to play. And I had this little drum set, and if you remember in the 70s, the style burgeoning then was to have these multi-drum, 15 drums, 11 cymbals, big flamboyant drum sets like Ginger Baker. I didn't have that. Anyway, I brought the drums in, carried them in to a little studio on West 54th Street. What I noticed immediately, what was really interesting, and this is serious, was that the way the other musicians, Clarence Clemons, Gary Tallent, and Dan Federici, related to him,
right,
the core of the E Street Band at that time, and the way they paid attention, that was very impressive to me. And I never quite knew why I got in the band. I mean, they did choose me. We went literally into rehearsal. We had 5 days of rehearsal and went on tour. My biggest thrill was I now had somebody to carry my drums and set them up.
Now, Bruce, everybody calls him the boss. Do you? He is your boss.
Do you go to him to ask for a raise? Does he issue a W-2 at the end of the year for you?
Does he make you do like a
year-end review?
A year-end
yeah,
review?
Yeah, performance review.
He said, well, he come in, he's sitting in his office and says, well, Max, your drumming has been very fine this year.
You know, if you've ever seen our concert, you know that we have a performance review every night. It's true. Because we'll go out and we'll play for 3 or 4 hours, and usually that's about 30 songs. On any given night, 15 of those songs are what we call audibles. You literally don't know what he's going to decide to play. And if you're lucky, he'll tell you. But that doesn't happen every night either. He'll give you a little hint and a guitar chord he may be
really?
Playing.
Really?
So, yes.
He'll just launch into it and he
he'll
expects
just
you to be on it. Has he
oh,
ever
yes,
like started a song and the rest of you guys are like, mm-hmm. We don't know what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. Panic when Bruce Springsteen goes in his patented voice, 1, 2, 3.
And he... Amazing.
And you're like, oh my God. And we don't know that.
Well, and he gets to 4, and you don't know what song he's going to play.
Right.
And if you know most of our songs, it sort of like goes 1, 2, bop, bada, bada, a little drum beat that
yeah.
fills. So
that's you. You're supposed
you know,
to do the little drum beat.
That's me.
Right.
That's me, and I'm at 3, and I don't know what 4 is. And
They're mostly about cars. How wrong could you go, really?
You know, I've heard that said, but then I know that Bruce once was saying, yeah, well, they're really about the people in the cars.
That's why he's the boss.
That's why he's the boss.
We read that you were famous among drummers for, and this may explain why, for your focus on Bruce. There's even a picture of you in Wikipedia. Note a drummer, Max Weinberg, staring intently at Bruce Springsteen, as he always does.
Absolutely.
And so your view of the show is Bruce Springsteen's back.
His entire back, his back, his waist, his butt. And I'll tell you, regarding that view, some of you may remember the Born in the USA album.
Yeah. Sure. The Born in the USA album, and for those who are young and just hear it on Spotify, the album cover is a picture of Bruce Springsteen's ass.
So when we were making that record, there were in the studio we were in New York City, and there were these prototype record covers lined up on the wall. And most of them featured Bruce's face. There were a couple of cars with some people in them. And there was this one shot of what became the album cover. Mm-hmm. And I voted for that one because that was the view I always saw. Yeah.
That's the Bruce I know.
That was it.
I know that butt.
I didn't recognize him from the front. I've never seen him from the front. So I've only seen him from the back.
I mean, you know his butt. I mean, better than anybody. Was it touched up at all, that album cover?
No, that's... you know, as they say, that's true butt.
Oh, yeah.
That is true butt.
Yeah, really.
No butt double.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
That's the view.
Has your view of the butt changed over the years? Has the butt changed, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. What is the evolution?
This recent international tour, have you been looking at the butt and going, hey, I guess we're all getting on in years? Or has it been more like, wow, that he's so timeless. His music is ageless, as is his butt.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I know.
The music is timeless, and so is the butt.
There you are.
Nice.
Well, Max Weinberg, it is a pleasure to talk to you. We've asked you here today to play a game.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
We're Sorry, New Jersey.
Now... Regular listeners may know that I have taken perhaps more than my fair share of pot shots at my home state. And we are here today to make amends. We are going to ask you, Max Weinberg, three questions about wonderful and interesting things about New Jersey, taken from the magisterial book, The Encyclopedia of New Jersey, which, despite what you might have heard, does not have a leopard print velour cover. It's a real book. Answer two of these questions correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice in their voicemail. Bill, who is Max Weinberg playing for?
Corey Phillips of Denville, New Jersey.
There you are.
Happy to do it.
Here we go, Max. Your first question. New Jersey has long bestowed gifts on its neighboring states. It's a generous state, am I right? Such as which of these, A, beginning in 2005, emissions from a factory in Hudson County have periodically made Manhattan smell like maple syrup. B, in 1702, a Cherry Hill resident invented the gold chain and gifted it to William Penn of Philadelphia. Or C, in 1996, Delaware increased tourism revenue 10% when they debuted the slogan, boring, but we are near New Jersey.
I really do need to go with number one, I believe.
The maple syrup. You're right. It wasn't fact
the smell
of maple syrup.
All right.
Hey.
I think...
You have to be from New Jersey to know that.
That's true. I think it's the nicest smell we've ever sent
well,
New York's
way.
All right. Next question. As you know, New Jersey is known far and wide as the Garden State. It says so right on the license plates of the 8 million cars registered in New Jersey. To show off its verdant agricultural heart, the state does what? A, it offers free screenings of the classic Zach Braff movie Garden State at state parks every week all summer. B, it imports tomatoes from Chile and gives them out for free at highway rest stops. Or C, it paints the containment walls alongside the Garden State Parkway a nice bright green.
Whoa, those are terrible, terrible questions.
Yeah.
They told you I was a drummer, right?
They didn't mention that.
I'm going to go with number two. I think it's the tomatoes.
No, it's actually they paint the walls of the parkway. You may not be able to tell, but they are painted green because it is the Garden State Parkway.
I'd like to see them name one wall that's painted green in here.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it doesn't matter. Because you have one more chance.
All right.
Here's your last question.
Should be under
better
protest.
Be good.
Now, these days, of course, New Jersey is known for producing the finest in reality shows. But back in the day, New Jersey was once the global capital for the manufacture of what? A, toilets, B, feminine hygiene products, or C, dentures. In fact, we had a practical cartel. This is true. If you wanted one of these, you had to come to New Jersey.
All right, I'm going to say toilets.
It's toilets!
Toilets!
Yeah! There you go!
This is true. You may not have known this, but the American sanitary wares industry was born in Trenton, New Jersey, and for many years, the manufacturers there had a virtual toilet cartel. If you wanted the toilet, you had to talk to people in Trenton, until it was broken up by the federal government in the 1920s. Who knew? Not me.
If you still want a toilet, you have to talk to the people in Trenton.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
So it should have said, Trenton makes so the world can too.
Yeah.
So you might say that this company was a number one in a number two business.
There you go.
Thank you, number one and number two.
I can't understand why Bruce doesn't give you your own microphone back then. But that's another story. Bill, how did Max Weinberg do in our quiz?
Well, Max did a number two, so on this show you won.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you, world.
Max Weinberg, a proud New Jersey and a drummer for Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band, the leader of the Max Weinberg Quintet. Max Weinberg, thank you so much.